Most of you know, if not all of you know, that I went to GMI, as it's now known Kettering, but it was when I went, it was GMI. That's where I went to college. And I had a roommate for my last 3 years in school there by the name of Bart Gesseman. He was a young man from Dayton, Ohio. He worked at Delco Marine. And I remember when we had met before, but the first time that we really got to sit down and talk to one another and to get to know one another, the conversation turned around to the advice that our dads gave us when we left home. I can still remember what he said. His dad told him, as he was a farmer, his dad was a farmer down in Dayton. And I can still remember, like it was yesterday, I think about it often, the advice that he shared with me, that his dad shared with him the day that he left home. His dad was trying to teach him to do right, to be a man. And he said, Bart, as you go to school, as you go into the world, I want you to remember three things. He said, I always want you to respect authority. He said, you'll always have somebody over you. Whoever that is, respect them as the authority that God has placed over you. Second thing he told him was, he says, always do more than you're paid for. There'd be certain people that won't like the fact that you do that, and sometimes your flesh won't like the fact that you'll do that. But if somebody pays you for 8 hours of work, give them 8.5 or 9. Always give them a little bit more than what they're paying you for, and you'll never have trouble finding a job. Then the third thing that his dad told him was, if you play with skunks, pretty soon some skunk is going to get on you. If you run with the wrong crowd, it'll affect your life. You'll start thinking like them. You'll start doing like them. And he said, Bart, I've raised you not to be a skunk. And so when you pick your friends and when you pick who you're going to hang around with when you go to school, make sure you don't pick a skunk. And, of course, his dad was giving him that advice because he didn't want him to turn out right, wanted him to be everything that God wanted him to be. Well, I told him what my dad told me, and that'll be for another sermon. I don't think I've ever shared that, but I still remember it. But we decided right there that we wanted to be friends. We made a conscious choice to be buddies, and we decided right then that we were going to room together the rest of our college years. And I really think that Bart was one of the big reasons that I stayed on the straight and narrow way when I was going to school. But you know, the thing that his dad wanted for him is the same thing that God wants for us. He wants us to turn out right. He wants us to live our life in such a way that will be pleasing to him. And God wants us to succeed. I mean, in every endeavor that we go into, our Heavenly Father wants for us to be a success. And so he does the same thing that our earthly dads do. He gives us some advice. He gives us some instruction. He gives us some encouragement. And tonight I speak on the subject, principles to live by. And I want to look at the passage of Scripture that we read a moment ago. And I want to share with you tonight four principles that Jesus gives us in this passage of Scripture that I think what he says is, I want you to make sure you make these a part of your life. As you order your life, as you set out to live your life, if you follow these principles, they'll make the difference between whether you're a success or whether you're a failure, whether you're blessed of God or whether you're not blessed of God. And so, real simply tonight, four things to live by. And again, it doesn't matter how old you say, preacher, I'm an older person. I've lived the better part of my life. I would tell you that these principles apply regardless of how old you are. From the very youngest to the very oldest, this is advice from God that's good for every single person. And so number one is this, endure a little extra. Endure a little extra. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I, Jesus, say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. The world's philosophy, even today as it was in Jesus' day, is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you kick me, I'll kick you. If you take advantage of me, I'll take advantage of you. If you hurt me, I'll hurt you. That's the way the world operates today. In fact, the world has gone a step further. The world says, do unto others before they do unto you. If I think you're coming after me, here's what the world says, I'm going to go after you before you come after me. If I think you're going to do something wrong to me, the world says, well, I'm going to do something wrong to you before you do it to me. Jesus said, that's not the way to live. That's not the principle that I want you to live by. What he says was, if you want to be blessed of God, if you want to be used of God, if you want to be successful in anything that you do, be it a husband or a wife or a parent or a grandparent, here's the principle that you need to put into your life. If someone smites you on one cheek, be willing to turn the other cheek also. What Jesus was saying is, it's not about getting even. It's not about taking revenge. It's not about defending yourself. It's learning to endure a little bit extra. And I know the world is completely opposite. The world says, don't let people step on you. Don't let people take advantage of you. But Jesus says, I want you to go a little bit extra. I want you to give a little bit extra. And he says, I want you to do that in every area of life. In your marriage, in your parenting, in your serving of God, I want you to go a little bit extra. The person who says, I can endure a little bit extra. The person who says, I can take a little bit more, will be a success in anything they set out to do. And the person that says that will be used of God. Now listen, I know this goes against our nature. It goes against human nature. Our human nature says, I can only take so much. Our human nature says, I've drawn a line. And if somebody crosses that line, they've gone too far. And here's what we've done. Here's what we've done, sometimes unknowingly. We've drawn lines in our marriages. And we said, I'll put up with everything until my spouse crosses that line, and then that's it. We've done that in our parenting. We draw lines and we say, I'll put up with my kids until they cross that line, and then no more. We've drawn lines in our friendships, and we say, I'll be a friend until my friend crosses this line, and then no more will I be a friend. We've drawn even lines in our service for God. I'll serve God as long as he continues to bless me, but when he crosses this line, I won't serve him anymore. And when somebody steps over those lines that we've drawn, and listen, you say, preacher, I've not done that. I would submit to you to think about it, because it happens. And when somebody steps over those lines, here's what we say, that's it. We put up our defenses. I mean, we put up our fists. We put up our karate instruments, our judo, right, Jameson? Our judo instruments. And we say, no more. That's it. I'm going to start defending myself. I'm going to start standing for my rights. I'm not going to let somebody take advantage of me. And we draw these lines in every area of life. And Jesus said, wait a minute. If you want to be less, if you want to be blessed, and if you want to be used of God, if you want to just have God's blessings upon you, then learn to endure a little bit extra. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So let's learn to endure a little extra. And you say, oh, preacher, I can't take it. That's why I drew the line in the first place. When my spouse crosses that line, or when my kids cross that line, or when my friends cross, I drew the line because I knew that's all I could take. And I'll remind you tonight of that verse in Philippians that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You may be so mad at your husband, and you may have every right to be mad at him because he's crossed the line. Not one time, he keeps going it over, just like this. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you just want to pound him. Learn to endure a little bit more. Learn to endure a little bit extra. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Don't try to do it on your own. Claim the power that he promises to every one of them. By the way, I think there's wives that do that too. They find out where their husband's line is and learn to endure a little bit extra. Now again, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. I think this is the crowd that needs it. This is the crowd that needs it more than anything else. Learn to endure a little bit extra. Number two, give a little bit more. Give a little bit more. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Someone takes you to court, sues you. Law says, give him your coat. You give him your coat. Then say, wait a minute. Here's my overcoat as well. Here's my cloak as well. I'm not only going to give you what is required, but I am going to give you more. There's a principle that Bart's dad shared with him. Somebody pays you for 8 hours, give them 8.5. Somebody pays you for 8.5 hours, give them 9. Always give them more than they pay you for. And if we could learn this principle, give a little bit more, we'd be a success in every area of life. Now, I'll tell you, the same thing's true when it comes to God. The Bible says that the tithe is the Lord's. 10% of our gross belongs to God. We believe in this church it ought to come into the storehouse. And you haven't given God anything until you give him the 10%, your tithe. You're just letting him have what's already his. I mean, it says the 10% is his. And if we're going to give anything to God, we've got to go above the tithe. Here's how most Christians operate. They make $102.29. Okay? They figure the tithe to the penny. I owe God. What do I owe him? Do I owe him 10.22 or 10.23? And they argue with themselves. Is it $102.29? Is it 10.22 or 10.23? Well, you can decide for yourself. But that's your tithe. You haven't given God anything until you give him above the tithe. And so if you want God's blessing, don't stop at the tithe. Give an offering. Give him a little bit more than what's required. I'm sure there's been people that you have known that you've heard them say this. God, if you would give me $1 million, I would not only tithe, but I would give extra to the church. I will take care of your work. I want to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you have ever said that? You were tempted to buy a lottery ticket. You said, God, if you'll let me win, I not only will tithe on this $50 million, but I will put more extra in. You heard the story about the two buddies walking down the street, friends for a long, long time, knew each other, loved each other. One of them looked over at the other one and said, hey, if you found $1 million, would you give me half of it? And his other friend looked back at him and said, you know I would. We've been buddies forever. We're as close as two friends can be. There's not a doubt. If I found $1 million, I would give you half of it. They walked a little bit further down the street, and the buddy looked over at him again and said, well, what about $500,000? If you found $500,000, would you give me half of it? Well, sure I would. I mean, we've been friends for years and years and years and years. If I found a $500,000, I'd be sure to give you half of it. And then his buddy looked over him and says, well, what if you had two pigs? Would you give me one of them? And his buddy looked back at him and got indignant. Why are you asking me that? You know I got two pigs. It's not what we would do. It's what we do. It's not if, God, if you'll bless me a lot, I'll give you a lot. It's what we do with what God has given us now. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. So here's what this verse is saying. You give to God in a thimble, he'll use a thimble to bless you. You give to God in a bucket, he'll use a bucket to bless you. You give to God in a truck, he'll use a truck to bless you. And it won't just be the thimble or the bucket or the truck. It'll be the thimble overflowing. It'll be the bucket overflowing. It'll be the truck overflowing. And Jesus said, you want to be blessed? You want to be used of God? You want to be a success? Learn to endure a little bit more. Learn to give a little bit more. Number three, go a little bit further. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Back in Jesus' day, the law was that if a Roman soldier, regardless of what you were doing, asked you to carry his pack, you were compelled to do it by law for a mile. Just a mile. And so again, regardless of what you were doing, if a Roman soldier came by, you might be working in the field, you might be working in the shop. If a Roman soldier passed you by and said, hey, I want you to carry my pack, by law, you had to carry that pack a mile. No further, a mile. And the Jews had their roads marked like we do. The highways. You know how the highways, we have a little green sign every tenth of a mile? That's what the Jews had. So that when a Roman soldier asked them to carry their pack, they could figure out where they started, and they would count those markers along the road. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm done. That's all the law requires. A mile. 10 of those markers. I've done exactly what the law tells me to do. Here's what Jesus said. You want to be a success? You want to be blessed of God? If the soldier compels you to go a mile, go two. Not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Go a little bit further. Go a little bit further. That's how you get victory. That's the difference between law and grace. Carry a pack for 1 mile, that's the law. Carry it for 2 miles, that's grace. Carry it for 1 mile, you've been conquered. Carry it for 2 miles, you're the victor. Carry it for 1 mile, you'll hurt. Carry it for 2 miles, you'll be healed. Carry it 1 mile, for man, carry it the second mile for God. Most Christians are 1 mile Christians. They do what's required, no more. They'll go a mile, but not a step further. They'll meet the minimal requirements. You know, I don't know whoever came up with the minimal requirements that they put on the back of boxes and different cans of food. But I don't know about you, I've determined that I need more than the minimal requirements. Huh? I mean, I can look at the box of a box of cereal, or I can look at a can of beans, and they say, well, you know, you got to eat this much, and that's the minimal requirements. Well, I need more than the minimal requirements. And by the way, if I was going to hire somebody, I wouldn't look for somebody that was just going to give me the minimal requirements. I would look for somebody that would give me extra, that would go a little bit further. So Jesus said, you want to be a success? You want to be blessed of God? You want to be used of God? Endure a little extra. Give a little more. Go a little further. And then number four, love a little deeper. You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? We need to learn a little, or we need to learn to love a little bit deeper. The greatest example that we have is Jesus, who commendeth his love for us while we were yet sinners. You see, Jesus said, I didn't come to well people. I didn't come to righteous people. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. A well person doesn't need a doctor, doesn't need a physician. Somebody that's sick needs a physician. I didn't go to Calvary for the good person. I didn't go to Calvary for the worthy person. I didn't go to Calvary for the deserving person. I went to Calvary for sinners. And by the way, that's every single one of us. I went to Calvary. I could hear Jesus saying it now. I went to Calvary for them that spit on me. I went to Calvary for those that cursed me. I went to Calvary for those that beat me and mocked me and crowned me with that crown of thorns. I went to Calvary for those that stripped me and hung me naked on that cross. I went to Calvary for each and every one of you. Because you see, even though God used the Roman soldiers as instruments to nail him to that cross, it was our sin that put him there. It was our sin for which he died. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. He knew what he was doing. He's saying, I'm going to love a little bit deeper. I'm going to love those that cursed me. I'm going to love those that persecute me. He said, if we love only those that love us, we're no better than the publicans. If we're going to love like him, we need to love those that despitefully use us. We need to let, you say, preacher, I can't love those people. And again, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. We're the ones that need it. I mean, the Sunday morning crowd, they would have a tougher time than you are with what I'm saying tonight. Jesus said, those that despitefully use you. And I'm sure that each one of you tonight could think of somebody in your heart and mind, yeah, I know exactly the kind of person that he was talking about. A person comes to my mind right now. Jesus said, those are the ones I want you to love. It's easy to love people that love you. But if that's all you do, you know better than the publicans. If you want to be like me, Jesus said, you got to love those that hate you and curse you and despitefully use you. And I know that goes against our nature. It goes against our nature. But here's what Jesus said as he ended this part of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, be ye therefore perfect. Now, he wasn't talking about sinless when he said perfect. But he says, be ye therefore mature as a Christian. Grow as a Christian. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So Bart's dad gave him three pieces of advice. Tonight, there's four in this passage of Scripture that we looked at. Endure a little extra. Give a little more. Go a little further. Love a little deeper. Jesus said, I'll bless you. I'll use you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the practicality of it. The advice that it has as we live our lives. And Father, I know that this advice goes against what the world says, and this advice goes against what our human nature says. But Father, help us to realize that it comes from you, and that if we want your blessing, we have to live the way you taught us to live. Father, I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that in the last few moments, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to them, showing them their sin, showing them the penalty for that sin, showing the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. And even though I didn't speak of salvation tonight, the Holy Spirit did. And I pray that that person who's here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior would realize that he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to you except by him. And so, Holy Spirit, do what only you could do. Bring them to the Savior. Bring them to Jesus. Help them tonight to receive him. And then, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us as Christians. If there's one of these areas where we're in rebellion against you, I pray you'd help us get it right tonight. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.